Psalm 32 and our thoughts today are of the hiding place that we have. I'm going to read the entire Psalm, 11 verses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. For I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And may God bless the reading of his word, and let's look to him in a word of prayer. Almighty God, most gracious Heavenly Father, now we thank thee and praise thee that thy grace has been manifested to us in the way of this so great salvation. And I thank you for the inclination in my heart just now to seek thy face. And we are instructed to seek thy face, O Lord. And as the psalmist said, thy face did I seek. And Lord, even now we come knowing that thou art God and that there is none else, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that thou art in control of all things. May it be that we not only bow to the knowledge of thy might, of thy power, of thy sovereignty, and of thy wisdom, of your providence, and of all of those things that we know of thee. We don't understand it all, but we know thee, and that's to whom we are directed. And Lord, I just pray that it not be merely that we look in the sense of that kind of submission, but that we delight as we behold your majesty, as we think of the glory of thy being, the beauty of thy person, and especially as we think of the greatness of the love wherewith thou hast loved us. Enable us, O Lord, just now, that we might have our hearts inclined unto thee, and that there we might discover the peace that passeth understanding, that there we might know the assurance that calms every troubled soul, that there we might rest in thy goodness and in thy mercy, in the promise that we find given to us in thy word. And help us, O Lord, that we might truly lay claim to these things, and that we do so, O God, with the acknowledgement that all honor, glory, and praise is to be unto thee. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for these that are suffering greatly throughout the world. We pray, O God, that thou would show mercy unto our land, unto our state, unto our community. And I pray for my church just now. Thou knowest the love that we have one for another. And I ask, O God, that you would bless them with the exercise of the love of God, and that they would likewise know the peace of God which passeth understanding. Draw us nigh unto thyself, and thereby draw us nigh one to another. We lament the fact that we are not able to meet together physically, but I pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst cause our hearts, our thoughts one of another, to be drawn close to each other and unto thee, and that it all might be to the praise of the glory of his grace, who loved us and gave himself for us, even Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's in his name that I pray and give thee thanks. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we do so with several thoughts coming to mind. I love when I'm able to find the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ there in the Old Testament Scriptures, just as surely as they are in the New Testament. They looked forward to that which would be accomplished in the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love to think of this. Some time ago, we did a study and just looked at Old Testament Beatitudes. And you say, well, I know the Beatitudes. That's Matthew chapter 5. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And certainly that is true. But that word blessed, as we've so often reminded, means happy. And so even in the Old Testament, we find many places in which blessedness is attributed to believers. And that being said, there is the beginning of this psalm. And I really want to come to the central portion of the psalm, but first of all, to see the groundwork and the foundation upon which David's hope and confidence was built. And I would trust that we likewise might be enabled to share in that with the psalmist. So when he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. There's several things, and I'm not going to belabor the point here, but there's several things that very definitely need to be brought to our attention. First of all, there is no greater joy than to know one's sins are forgiven. Because where there is an awareness of sin, and David talks about this in verses 3 through 5 as he goes on with the experiences that he had in wrestling with his own sin and with his own difficulties and with his own road to repentance, as it were, because this is in reflection of that. In other words, he's talking about how he feels now, but he is looking to the way that it could have been and the way that it was before he came to know the Lord in that way. And so it is that it is that blessedness that he speaks of here looks first of all to the fact that his sin is forgiven. That is, God has communicated to him that it is not being held against him, that the punishment for that sin has been taken on by another. You say, well, David didn't have anybody that had died for him at that time. That's 1,000 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. David's faith was just as surely in the Lord as your faith is. David's faith was just as surely in what would be accomplished in Jesus Christ. And on that basis, David was able to understand forgiveness and understood what the meaning of sacrifices were, because they all pointed to Jesus Christ. And it is he that had to die. It was he that had to suffer in order to bring about that so great salvation. And so it is thus that sin is covered. And we could debate the issues that men have dealt with. Well, they were covered in the Old Testament. They were taken away in the New Testament. No, David said in another place, so far as the east is from the west, so far as they removed our transgressions from us, and we're able to have that understanding throughout, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ manifest forgiveness having been given unto an individual, and a sense of blessedness to be known there. The Lord, to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, number one, he's not charging us with our sin, who know him, who trust in him, and in whose spirit there is no guile, that we have a new nature imparted to us. And so those things are there. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, David expressed what he had gone through. There had been a time he had kept silence about his sin. He had not sought forgiveness. He had not looked to the Lord for deliverance and understood, did not perhaps understand those things. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. Now, when I see that and understand what one of God's people are saying, thy hand was upon me, that hand of chastisement, that hand of correction, that hand of manifesting the fact and the presence of sin that needed to be dealt with. But I also understand too, as I look back and understand plagues that were poured out upon Egypt, plagues that were poured out upon the children of Israel in times of their disobedience. And we're all eyewitnesses to the fact that this land and the world in general have nothing but contempt for the righteousness of God and for the Son of God. So I am not going to be the one to say, well, God is punishing us for our sin. But I will say this without apology. The fact is that it is the hand of God, because he is able to control all things. He has his purposes, and we who know the Lord have this promise that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And in understanding that, we have that ability, if you will, to look at whatever the circumstance might be, and we don't have to understand it. We don't have to know all the details. We don't have to look around and lay blame. We don't have to do anything other than to believe that the Lord has blotted upon us for the good of his people. Now, let me just say this, that these things that I'm talking about, these comforts that are to be had, and David would say later on in his psalm, verse 9, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. In other words, there's those that even now, and I'm satisfied many that may be laying sick of this dread disease and have no thoughts of repentance and no thoughts of the deliverance of their soul. What we must understand is that we are kept. We are secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And that means from the effects of it, just as surely as it means anything else. You said, preacher, do you mean that that guarantees physical health to God's people? No. Because he also said, for it is given unto us not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And I don't know, I may tomorrow find out that I have this virus. But the fact is that it will not affect my immortal soul. It will not affect that which has been washed in the blood. It will not bother that which has experienced the washing of regeneration and has been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David was able to talk with a measure of assurance as he spoke in the sixth verse. He said, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. And surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. To that person who is truly seeking unto God, these things, while they may afflict the body, they cannot bring harm to the soul. These things that seem to be such a dread in the flesh, and these things who should seem to be so uncontrolled are stopped dead when it tries to approach that soul that has rested his case and that is believing and trusting and seeking unto God. He turns away none that truly seek unto him. We believe in the sovereignty of God, and he's in control of all things. And we believe likewise that those who are living in Christ and Christ in them, that they are secured from all of this. And so what David comes to then is the prayer of the godly. And indeed, God's people should be praying. They should be praying more now than ever. They should be endeavoring to draw nigh unto God. They should be looking to him for relief. They should be pleading for mercy to be visited upon the places of all of these troubles. But they should also be praying for mercy to be delivered, and that souls might be turned unto him, looking to him for salvation beyond, not just merely to get over a disease. And I fear that in a few months this thing may be over, and when it is, that men will go right back to the way that they were. Perhaps even some that have been afflicted. And so David, though, registered his claim with God. This is the thing that we can do. Listen to, and I love this thought. It was suggested to me by C.H. Spurgeon. But thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. There's three things. And when I say the claims of God, the fact is that this is something in the way that David says it. He didn't say, you are a hiding place. He said, you're my hiding place. And you say, that's the place that I can go to. I could remember as a child often playing. We love to play hide and seek. Let the dusk settle in, and the next thing you know, if there were enough kids around, that's what we were doing. And I had some favorite places that I like to go to hide. And every once in a while, as we were running to find those hiding places, when somebody else would show up, and I'm already there, I say, uh-uh. No, you go find you someplace else. This is my hiding place. But now we look at this as far as the Lord is concerned. I'm not looking for any place else to hide. He is my hiding place. And this, David makes that claim. Thou art my hiding place. You belong to me. And he is saying that based on the claims of grace, based on the promises of God. You say, well, you can't claim anything from God. When he promises it, I can claim it. When I believe it, I can claim it. And that, and it becomes mine. It becomes my possession. And so it is. It becomes a personal hiding place. It's a personal claim. It's from the sight of the enemy. It's from the access of the enemy. It is from a hiding place from that which would destroy my soul. It is a hiding place from these things that would trouble me, that would tend to want to cast doubt upon the, even upon the integrity of God. And this will never come about where we find him as our hiding place. The songwriter said it well, that from every stormy wind that blows, that, and let me read it to you quickly. But from every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat, 'tis found beneath the mercy seat. And so there is a place where Jesus sheds the oil of gladness on our heads, a place than all besides more sweet. It is the blood-bought mercy seat. And so the thought goes on in that passage of scripture. And so we are there. We're in a place. We're in a place of security. We're in a place in which we delight to be in the presence of the Lord. We not only know safety, but we're not looking out and say, oh, it's trying to get me. No, I believe that God's people just calmly rest, and they know in spite of all the threatening and whatever else it might be. I think sometimes we have a tendency to even look beyond, and we have the assurances of heaven. We have that which says, yes, it is to be, that we shall know an eternity of deliverance, of security from all of these things. So David goes on and says in that verse 7, that thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Folks, we've got trouble. There is trouble about. There's trouble all around us. There's trouble as far as disease is concerned. There's trouble as far as human reaction is concerned. There is trouble as far as the economy is concerned. There is trouble as far as the world relationships are concerned. There's trouble on every hand, but we're preserved from it. This is not, we are strangers. I beseech you, Peter said, as strangers and pilgrims, and we're in a strange land. We are not of the world. Christ said that of his disciples as he prayed for them. They're not of this world, but they're in the world, and we're in the world, but we're in the world with peace, and we're in the world secured. And thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt keep me. And then he goes on to say, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And this thought, again, we're in the place of hope. We're in the hiding place where nothing is going to break through and get to us. We're in the place of preservation. We're not going to spoil. We're not going to be delivered up unto any sort of change from our relationship in Christ. And we're in the place of hope. Christ in you, we've quoted it so often, is the hope of glory. Indeed, what a blessed situation it is that we find ourselves in, that we are able to so look to and trust in the mercies of God. Listen to what he said. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And so the promised mercies of God completely encircle the child of God. Listen to verse 10 of this psalm. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. That's all around us. Look out. You want to look out one side of your house? Look out the other side of your house. Wherever you look, it's mercy. Wherever you might think that there is another facet of difficulty as far as this world is concerned, we are surrounded by mercy. There's an instance in the Old Testament in which the prophet Elisha, the enemy, had completely encircled them. And his servant was in a panic. And when indeed Elisha just simply prayed, said, Lord, open his eyes and just let him see what is going on. And when he opened his eyes, he saw those angels. He saw the heavenly host that were between them and the enemy. They were surrounded, to be sure, but it was surrounded by the mercies of God. And this is where we find ourselves. And this is because Jesus Christ has died. He has risen again. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so he has conquered the coronavirus as far as the child of God is concerned. He has conquered all that would threaten his people. And so we are directed to heed his instruction. We are directed to be able to, in such a way as to be able to rest fully in him. we see those places in Scripture. In Psalm 27, we read these words, and I would share them with you. Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. Don't you love it? Psalm 91 said, he that dwelleth in the secret place, he that dwelleth in that way, dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. That thought, that assurance is given us in such a precious fashion. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh my, the enemy certainly is afoot. The enemy would destroy. The enemy would discourage. The enemy would bring us down if he could. But the fact is that we are secure in our hiding place. We are preserved, and we are encircled about by the mercies of God, by the hope that is there. And as the songwriter put it, I think we can claim what the songwriter looked for in heaven, where he said, no chilling wind nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. May the Lord enable us to seize upon this which is given us in Christ Jesus, given us by the grace of God, empowered in us by He the Holy Spirit, and may our hearts be encouraged and lifted up in it all. I have come to you this morning with great hope that the message of the gospel would prevail in the hearts of each and in the hearts of many. I thought to be here by myself this morning, but I do have one brother that came by to see if I needed help. We have maintained our distance, and so I am going to ask Brother Ernie Lake, if he would, to dismiss us from this broadcast in a word of prayer. Brother Ernie.
Pastor, if I may, I would like to close by reading a short psalm.
Go ahead.
Then dismiss with a prayer.
Come on up. Well, but I want you to get where you can be heard. Come a little closer.
Okay. The Lord has laid this on my heart because we believe that this Holy Bible is the inspired Word of God.
Amen.
And the comfort that is in it, it is truly the bread of life. Christ is life, and this is the Word of Christ. And this psalm is such a comfort to everyone. Psalm 23.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us. We thank you for the fact that you are God, that there is none other. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for redemption through the precious blood of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that the winds and the waves still know and obey his voice.
Yes.
We pray, Father, for those that are suffering. We pray that you might be pleased. Open the ears and the hearts of those that don't know you and pardon and forgiveness of sins. We pray for those who are suffering from illnesses, from whatever the case may be throughout this world. We pray for our community, for our state, for our nation, for our church, for the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray for our pastor, for our church family. We ask now that you would go with us, that you would lead us and guide us, and that when we lay down, we truly lay down in the green pasture, knowing that you will lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Forgive us for we sin and fail you. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the name that's above all names, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name, for his sake, I do pray. Amen.
Amen.